Joining us now on The Drive, she's an Olympic gold medalist, multi-time national champion with the U.S. Women's National Hockey Team. She made national news last year when she competed in the NHL All-Star Skills Competition in the Fastest Skater Contest, when it was hosted here in the Bay Area in San Jose, and broke down a few more barriers this year, joining the San Jose Sharks broadcast team as a color commentator, alongside TV play-by-play man Randy Hahn and Brett Hedekin. She is Kendall Coyne Schofield, and she is joining us now on The Drive. Kendall, thanks so much for taking the time.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we're a couple months into the season now. You've been on the Sharks broadcast team here quite a few games with the Sharks. What's generally the experience been like so far for you joining the team?
It's been an excellent experience. I've been really fortunate to be surrounded by so many amazing people within the Sharks organization and NBC California, and just being able to learn alongside Randy, Hetty, and Bakes, and Dan, and so many just amazing people. Sean, our producer, they've all given me such amazing feedback game by game. And so it's like anything, it takes reps, it takes time. You're going to make mistakes. I've made plenty of them, and it's learning from them in order to get better, just like I've done throughout my playing career.
Now, for those who may not know the story, your path to the Sharks in many ways began in San Jose last year at the All-Star Game, participating in the Fastest Skater event. Where did things lead from there? Was it kind of a whirlwind after that? How did it all kind of come together after that?
Yeah, so actually, if we go a little bit farther back to my college days, I went to Northeastern University and I was a communications major there. I did some sideline reporting for the men's team while I was playing for the women's team. So we would play typically around 2 o'clock, and then they would play at 7. So I would play and then get ready and do some sideline reporting for their games when I was there. So I've always had an interest in broadcasting. I've always wanted to do it. And so after the All-Star weekend, things kind of exploded, no pun intended, but not for me, things happened very fast. And so, being able to work with the Sharks ever since that moment, the whole Sharks community has welcomed me as one of their own. It's been an incredible experience. And I even go back to 2015, mm-hmm. My husband won the Super Bowl in Santa Clara, and we stayed right there in San Jose. So a lot of amazing things have happened for nice. Us in San Jose, and it's continuing to happen. And I feel at home when I get to San Jose, and the community and the team has welcomed me so well, and it's definitely helped my confidence, behind the broadcasting side of things. And that moment on the ice was one I'll never forget, that's for sure.
So it sounded like you had a little bit of the kind of the foundation for it going in, but was it an adjustment at all going from the experience of, being a player on the ice, watching the action kind of unfold from that perspective, and then moving up to the broadcast booth and kind of analyzing and describing what's happening down on the ice?
Oh, it's definitely a transition. And the one thing that's not a transition is the amount of work it takes to build your craft. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that as a player my whole life, and hard work is something that I never take for granted, that I always put in the work. And throughout this year, that's something that I've focused on the broadcasting side is putting in the work to get better. And the preparation it takes for each game is the same amount of preparation it takes from a playing side. And so that's the same, but it is definitely a transition. And I think that one of the biggest transitions too is, having a producer in your ear talking, and, once that light goes on, and, just being fluid with live television. Things don't always go as planned, and that's the same thing in the game. You go out every game hoping you're going to win, but that's not always the case. So there's a lot of similarities. There's some differences, but I think the biggest similarity is the effort it takes to be good at your craft. It's a lot of work.
Now, is there an aspect of broadcasting a game that either surprised you or was different than you expected going in?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say I thought the games would go by a little bit faster or a little bit slower, and I didn't know which it would be. Uh-huh. Because I think, when I'm playing, the games go by so fast.
Right.
I'm used to that. I love it. I don't want hockey games to end. But I think it's the same in in the broadcast booth. I think the games go by so fast, and I'm like, wait, I don't want this to end. It's a great hockey game. So that's been similar. But, you know, I think it's just figuring out my niche, figuring out my day-to-day routine, because as a player, that is different. I'm not taking as long of a nap, or I'm eating at a different time, and, you know, the production meeting versus warming up, things like that. So there's similarities, but the difference is, again, like, you know, when we're having a production meeting, the guys are warming up. That's our warm-up, is our production meeting. So, right. it's just getting used to routine and getting more comfortable. And, Randy, Hetty, Bakes, Dan, and especially our producer, Sean, has been incredible helping me along the way.
Now, let's talk about a little bit about your hockey background. It seems like you grew up in a hockey family. Was that kind of how you found the game? And, who were some of your heroes you watched growing up?
Yeah, my parents didn't grow up playing hockey, so we weren't a hockey family until my older brother, Kevin, came along, and he was six, and my parents just put him in all different sports, and they built a rink in our town in 1992, and my dad wandered over there, signed him up. It was an outdoor rink, and he fell in love with the game, and they brought me as a little girl to watch him play, and I told him I want to do what he does, and they put me in figure skates because over 25 years ago, that's what girls were predominantly doing, was figure skating. And after a week in the figure skates, I looked at them, I cried. I didn't know much. I was 3 years old, but I knew my skates were different than his. Mm-hmm. And, I love the sport of figure skating. It's one of my favorite Olympic winter sports to watch. However, I wanted to be like my brother. I wanted to do what my brother did. And I didn't like really wearing any type of dresses. And I saw that came with figure skating as well. So, after a week in the figure skates and crying that I wanted mine to look like my brother's, I got hockey skates and haven't really looked back since. So
nice.
That's how I started.
What I think is especially cool, whether it's the Olympic success or, you know, breaking down the barriers in the skills competition or the broadcast booth, it's generally kind of growing the game and bringing in new fans and new voices to talk about the game and, you know, kind of a fresh perspective. Is that something you found along the way? Do you kind of take pride in being a part of that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I forgot to answer the second part to your question of who are my role models growing up. And I think that's really important as we sit here today. But my role models, you know, I grew up in Chicago. So I looked at Chris Chelios, Antonio Mane, and Jeremy Roenick. And the games in Chicago weren't always on TV. So as a kid, we had to go to the game in order to see hockey. So a lot of people didn't know hockey in Chicago during the time I was growing up. The Hawks, you know, weren't that great, and the games weren't on TV, as simple as that. And so, I aspired to play in the NHL because that's all I knew. And then I met Cami Granato in the summer after she won the gold medal in 1998, and I held her gold medal, and that's when I turned to my parents and said, I want to go to the Olympics. And that's when I realized girls can play hockey, because up until that point, you know, everyone in school told me, why don't I just play sports that normal girls play, that hockey isn't one of those. And I started to believe them for a little bit because I really didn't see another girl. So I'm like, maybe they are right. Maybe just my brother should be playing, not me. And then I saw Cami, and then I went to her camp, and I saw over 100 girls at her camp there. And I was like, they're wrong. I can play this sport. I am supposed to play this sport, and this sport is awesome. And so now here I am, you know, over 20 years later, and I feel that role is so important, whether it's broadcasting or playing, is being an accessible role model for the future generations. And whether they hear my voice or they see me skate, I hope they see me and, you know they can do what I did and they can do it better. And I think that's what's so exciting about, you know, the all-star moment in San Jose. And then every time I'm able to get on the broadcast with the Sharks is, you know, hopefully inspiring the next generation to follow their dream.
That's awesome. Now, you mentioned the Olympic experience. I think one of the hardest things to accomplish in sports is winning an Olympic gold. So of all the different successes you've had, how was that experience different from the rest of them? Did that one just, was that bigger than them all?
Well, it was. For women's hockey, it's the pinnacle. That's our Stanley Cup. That's our Lombardi. That's the top of the top. So unfortunately we have to wait every 4 years. And, you know, in 2018, it was a 20-year drought since the U.S. team won the gold medal. And the last gold medal I held was Cami's at her hockey camp when I was 7 years old. Mm-hmm. So it was a long time coming and, a dream that I had since I met Cami. And You know, that experience was one I'll never forget because of all the sacrifices, the hard work, you know, my entire family, you know, made for me to get there. And that's what made that really so special, was having all of them in South Korea to celebrate with after, for them to see my gold medal, especially my parents. And for all of those hockey parents that are listening, thank you so much for all you do for your kids, because it's not the effort of the athlete, it's the effort of the family in order to get to the top. And I know the NHLers can relate to that. Your parents put in so much time and effort and money to allow you to play the game you love. And so for me, that was what made that moment so special personally. But then just to be able to share that experience with so many people across the United States and inspire a whole other wave of specifically young girls to pick up sports because they saw us play, they saw us win. And for us on the 2018 team, we were inspired by the 98 team. So mm-hmm. I can't wait to see 20 years down the line that wave of girls who are now women who were inspired by us, hopefully, and are putting their own gold medal around their neck.
Let's close out a little bit talking about the Sharks this year. Really hot November, kind of finding their game mm-hmm. a little bit, but in a lot of ways still finding their game in a number of different ways. What have you seen from the team this year? What are your thoughts of how they're looking so far?
Yeah, an October you want to put behind you but learn from, a November you want to remember and build off of, and not the best start of December, game one the other night against Washington, but I think it's evident when this team plays together and when each player plays the role that they know they're capable of, they're successful. From goaltending out, when they're clicking on all cylinders, you know, it doesn't mean every guy has to have his best night every night because someone's there to pick them up along the way. But when they play to their roles and their strengths, and their strength is offense through their defense, they're successful. And every night we've seen, you know, the defense core produce offensive power, whether it's shots on net, goals, assists, whatever it might be, they're successful. And they play within their structure. And, you have to play as a unit of six, and when they do that, they're successful, and they know that, and it's not going to be perfect every night. It's a long season, so
right.
I think November was definitely a glimmer of what this team is made of, and it's only going to continue to get better, game by game.
Now, I think the team kind of knew going in that some of the younger players were going to need to step up to fill some of the roles of the players that left in the offseason. Anyone in particular that stood out to you as being a surprise or really kind of jumped into that role right away?
Yeah, I think I look back to the 5-2 win against the Blackhawks. I think that in San Jose, Timo Meier really, really had a great game, and he's been on a roll since. I think he had a slow start, and he even said it at one point during the broadcast, we're having fun now. And you can mm-hmm. see that he's starting to have fun with his game. He's starting, to produce the way that the Sharks, signed him this offseason to produce. But I think the biggest factor and the biggest surprise, but not really a surprise, has been Barclay Goodrow. And he's been, the most consistent player I've seen for the Sharks so far this season. And consistency doesn't need to necessarily mean stats and points. It's his defensive zone play. He's always doing the little things well. And that's why I think Pete DeBoer trusts him in the way that he continues to move him up in the lineup.
Now, I think hockey, maybe more so than other sports, is really driven by chemistry between the team and the players on the ice at any given time. For this team, was there some amount of getting used to playing with each other, getting used to kind of new leadership with a new captain, sort of kind of letting that all sink in, and that's all part of the process of finding their game?
Absolutely. It's definitely part of the process. And when you lose Joe Pavelski, that's a big loss. And it's not only a big loss in the locker room, but it's a big loss on the ice. And we saw Evander Kane fit in so well in front, tipping pucks, banging home rebounds in an area in which Joe Pavelski is one of the best to ever do it in the game. And, they found that quickly. But, yes, it's a transition when, you have some transactions in the offseason. And again, it takes time. It takes reps and new leadership. And, it does. It takes, maybe a month like we've seen to gel. And they're definitely starting to gel, and I think Logan Couture is a great leader on and off the ice, and especially he's shown that on the ice this last month. Two overtime game-winning goals back-to-back. And then you look at the game in Arizona when a goal was needed and, you know, they came out flat to nothing, down to nothing. Who was there to pick the team up? It was him. Mm-hmm. So he's been a great leader on the ice and off the ice. And, you know, it's definitely exciting moving forward.
Excellent. Now, let's close out kind of on where you want to go from here. Are there, in terms with hockey or with broadcasting, where do you see yourself down the road? Do you want to jump into it full time? What kind of things are you looking at?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, short term answer is I'm heading to Tampa tomorrow to be with the team in Tampa and Fort Lauderdale, and then from there I'm actually flying to Hartford, Connecticut for a week-long training camp with Team USA. They're going to pick a team to play Canada on Friday the 14th in Hartford, and then in Moncton, I believe, on the 17th. So two games against Canada. They'll pick a team on next Thursday. So that's the short-term goal, is to make that two games and then make that team with Team USA, and then finish out this year with the Sharks and with Team USA as well. So, you know, we're getting closer to an Olympic year. I think my dream right now, my desire, is to keep pushing to try and make my third Olympic team and continue to get better on the broadcast booth. So both short-term and long-term goals within the next few years, and, you know, continue to be the best wife I can be when I see my husband as well.
Thank you so much for taking the time. Good luck. Enjoy hearing you, seeing you on TV, seeing you in the broadcast booth, and good luck on the ice. And thanks so much for taking the time.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.